when I say I hate exercising. Anybody else feel that way? Exercise. Exercising is terrible, like absolutely terrible. So I have this friend who this year has gone back to running, right? And so he posts his pictures every day. I ran 3 miles without stopping, all this stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get back to running, right? Because I walk every day. I do this little thing on my phone. It tells me at the end of the month how much I spend time doing all this stuff. But I walk 300,000 steps a month. That's about my average the last couple months. So that's pretty good. I'm like, I can get back to running. I about killed myself, right? I told Andy. I said, I think something's wrong. Andy's my buddy up here in the sound booth. I said, Andy, something's wrong. I said, I went running today, and my heart rate was 180. And he was like, you can't do that anymore. Like, you have to go see your doctor. I was like, so I'm trying to kill myself trying to run. Like, I hate exercising. And, you know, you exercise, you like, oh, exercise. You read people when they say, oh, exercise makes you feel great. And it'll get you hooked. It's like a drug. You're just going to love exercising. I hate exercising. Like, the way your body feels when you're done exercising is absolutely miserable. You hurt for a couple days afterwards. Like, it's terrible. And I felt like this, like, since I was, like, a sophomore in high school. I just hit a wall of exercising, right? Because I played football in the fall, and all my football coaches were like, you're too thin, you're too skinny, like you need to get some meat on your bones. So they gave me like this sheet of paper, and they're like, eat this every day. And I'm like, every day? It was like 8 eggs, 8 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I mean, like all of these calories. Because I was like 150 pounds soaking wet. I played on the offensive line. And so like, you got to do this. But nobody told me like I could eat all this way and exercise in football season. And then in track season that I would run it all off. And that's what I did. Every track season, I'd go out there and I'd run off everything that I had done that year. And I'd scrape, get right back down. But then it hit me too. Like, I hated being in the workout room. And I hated running around the same oval time and time and time again, because I ran the mile when I first started running in high school. I hated running so much at the end that I pushed myself to make myself fast enough to not have to run the mile anymore. And I was getting to the point where I could run the quarter mile. I could run a quarter mile in 59 seconds in high school. I was pretty proud of myself, but then I broke my ankle and all that changed. And God had his way, and I became a minister, not a football player. And so, anyways, but I do. I hate exercise. I hate the way it makes me feel. But we need to keep our body moving, right? I mean, like, our bodies have to keep moving, because there are bad things that happen when the body just sits and stops being in motion. I want to jump into the question of the day pretty early this morning, so we can get going. And since there was such a resonation with me on this whole idea, I want to know, what's your least favorite exercise? Like, what exercise do you hate to do? You know, I won't give you any hints. You guys can go ahead and turn people closest to you and answer that question. What is your least favorite exercise to do? And keeping our body moving. And it's interesting, the first thing that we do when we have been moving or when we've been trying to move and we start hurting is that we just stop. We stop trying to move. But there's so many news stories, so many articles that talk about how bad it is for us to stop moving. How many of you guys maybe have a personal friend, somebody you know, somebody you worked with? Maybe you've read it in the newspaper, on the news, but you hear about that guy who worked hard his whole life. Like, he worked a factory job his whole life, was on his feet every day, seemed to be in good health, and then he retires, and he goes, and he sits in his lazy boy, and within 6 months, he's gone. He's passed away because he's stopped moving. And I tell you, it scares me. I've been thinking a lot about my family's medical history lately, and the issues that my mom's been going through with heart disease and diabetes and all that. And that stuff, it just scares me, this whole idea of stop moving. Like, and it's been a driving force for me to get back and to shed some weight and to get back into a healthier lifestyle and to eat healthier and to drink more water and to keep moving, because our bodies were meant to keep moving, but not just our physical bodies, right? There's so many just illustrations and analogies in this physical world that point us to things that are more important in the spiritual world. You know, we know that the picture of marriage is a beautiful picture of the relationship between Jesus and his church. But there's also something about our physical bodies that Paul alludes to, and he talks about when we are the body, and not a physical body, but a spiritual body, a body that's made up. We've been talking about Greek words this month. We talked about ekklesia. We talked about being the church, not just going to church. We talked about koinonia, and we talked about how that's the fellowship, that joint mutual relationship between believers for the benefit of the kingdom. And this morning, I want to talk about the word soma. And soma is the word for body. And when we read the word body in the New Testament, this is the word, this is the picture that Paul and the other apostles are writing about. They're writing about the body, but not just the physical body, but its spiritual ramifications. And we see, and as we're going to look at in a couple different passages this morning, that the word soma is always used in when we're talking about moving forward and advancing the kingdom of God. It's not about sitting still. It's not about being complacent. It's not about finally arriving, but always moving forward. Go ahead and flip with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to spend some time here this morning, a couple other passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. And this is what Paul says. This is, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ. Some are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body and one spirit, and we all share the same spirit. Did you guys hear this week, there was a news article that was floating around different about the two little boys. And the two little boys decided they wanted to play a prank on their teacher. And so the one little boy said, I'm going to get my hair cut just like you. And so he told his mom, Mom, I got to have my hair cut just like Reddy. And she was like, okay, why? And she's like, because I want to be able to fool my teacher. And they're like kindergarten age, they're like 4 or 5 year old boys. And she said, I want to fool our teacher. And so when I go up, she won't know that it's me, Jax. She'll think it's Reddy. But the problem was Jax was white and Reddy was black. So they went and got his haircut. They showed a picture. He had a little faux hawk going on with some longer hair. But they wanted to fool their teacher. And he had no clue. He didn't see that there was difference between him and Jax. And that's what Paul is saying when he says, some are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body by one spirit, and we all share the same spirit. We are one body, one soma of believers. I've been thinking a lot about this idea. I was having a conversation with another ministry friend of mine this week, talking about how there's got to become more diversification in the church. There just has to be. We live in such a diverse world with diverse people that we've got to see more diversification come and be a part in the church where people feel welcome, that there is no Jew or Gentile, there is no free or a slave. There are no boundaries, no labels that we've been or seen or put on people, but that we all feel welcome. And we talk about there being a day when Homeport is a diverse church family. And diverse, we talk about multi-generational, but also multi-ethnic. We need all kinds of people to come and help us be the full body of Christ here in St. Augustine. And we need people across all the scales. You know, we need our black friends. We need our Asian friends. We need our Hispanic, our Mexican, our Puerto Rican friends. And we need Puerto Rican grandmas. And we need Asian grandpas, and we need, you know, we need white little kids, and we need black little kids. We need diversification, because that is what Paul is getting to when he says that there are many parts that make up the whole body. We've got to be a part of that. There's got to be a day when Homeport becomes more diverse. We come into this thing that Paul is talking about as the body. He says, yes, the body has many different parts in verse 14. Not just one part, for if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would it smell? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange would it be if the body only had one part? You know, if you saw Thing running around, if we were all things, remember the Addams Family, and you'd see the hand running around. If we were all just hands, that's what it would look like. We'd all be little hands running around. I don't even know how we'd see the Addams Family on television, but we'd be there, right? And so how strange would it be if we were only one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while more honorable parts that do not require special care. So God put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among its members so that all the members care for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part honored, all the parts are glad. And then he says this, and all of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. And we can think about those days when our bodies suffer because one little thing goes wrong and how much we hurt because of it. You know, they say, I mean, the appendix, I mean, literally is probably about as big as two of your fingers is right here. I mean, that's probably about as big as your finger is. I have never been in more pain in my life than the hours leading up to them taking that appendix out of me back in November. That hurt so bad. It hurt so bad that the morphine they gave me didn't touch it. I was telling Laura this story earlier. I said, the nurse came in after she gave me the first shot of morphine, and I said, can we just have a conversation real quick? And she's like, yeah. I was like, all right, so this morphine that you give me, right, it's supposed to help with the pain, or it's supposed to make me tired, right? Like, one or the other, right? And she's like, are you tired? And I said, yeah, I'm tired. And she said, well, then you just need to sleep. I'll see about giving you more morphine. But that morphine didn't help at all. It was the worst pain I had ever been in, but it was one little part of the body. It says, if one suffers, all the parts suffer with it. All together, or all of you together, Christ's body, each of you is a part of it. And we're talking about this idea of better together. The church is better together. Each of us plays a part. None of us are the most important part. None of us are the least important part. We all have value in part of the body itself. And we can't move without each person playing their part. Everybody playing their role. Romans chapter 12 says, just as the bodies have many parts, and each with special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If he's given you the gift of serving, serve others well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Every part plays a body, or every part plays a role in the body. But he hammers in on this idea. He says, do it well. And I tell you, there's this thing I see in the church, and I get to see all the different moving parts. But there's this thing I see a lot in the church that doesn't ever correlate out into the real world, right? So, like, in our jobs, if we don't do our jobs well, like, we feel bad, and we feel like we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our bosses are hammering down on hard of us, and we just don't feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we're fear of losing our jobs, and we fear that we're not going to have the income to take care of our families. But then when you come into the church, like, nobody's going to come down like heavy-handed on you, like, you're not doing your job. Like, we're going to fire you from volunteering. Because one, we don't have enough volunteers, and two, we just don't want to hurt people's feelings. But the reality is that that commitment isn't the same. Like, we're not afraid we're going to lose our job, and we're not afraid we're not going to be able to put food on our table because we didn't volunteer well in the church. And so our commitment wanes. And we're like, if I don't show up, I didn't show up. And if I don't do my job, I didn't do my job. Someone's going to do it for me, or nobody's going to miss me. And the reality is like, if you're missing, like, the body can't move forward. If you're not playing your role and your part, like, we are lame and struggling to walk. Because if you are the foot that's moving us forward and you're not here, it's hard to walk. I mean, you're either on crutches or you're limping. And a lot of times we limp along, because we're not taking it seriously, and we're not doing our jobs well. We're not doing them well. How many of you guys remember back, I don't even remember what year this would have been, but remember Captain Kangaroo was on CBS in the mornings? Remember Captain Kangaroo? Do you remember the guy that came on and did the songs about the body, Slim Goodbody? Does anybody remember Slim Goodbody? Let me reintroduce you to Slim Goodbody here this morning.
The great partnerships at work in your body is between your bones and your muscles. They team up to give you shape, motion, and protection. Why, without your bones and muscles, you're...
But his whole thing, I watched a handful of his short videos on YouTube, and I mean, and that was just his thing. He was there to teach those kids about the different parts of the body and how they move. And this whole, I think this one's like 15 minutes long in its whole entirety. But he sings a song about the body moving, and that there's a hand back there that moves up and down in it. I mean, it was really hilarious actually to watch it. But he was right, like. The body parts together move. The work of the muscle and the bones together. And then it's beyond just that. The muscles and the bones don't just move together on their own. They work in conjunction with the head and the brain, with the blood vessels moving, with the nutrients. Like, all of those things are so important. And the same is true in the church. Movement would be impossible without you and us. And me working together. Here's what I want you to write down. And here's what we need to know this morning. God created me to play my part. Say that with me. God created me to play my part. Not me, Ben, but you. He created you to play your part. And those pronouns, those me and my, those are so important that we understand that each of us have been called to play our part. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. These were the impetus of when we created our equipping classes that we've been running now. These 5-week classes that we run a couple times a year. That it came right out of these very verses. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 11, it says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ has given the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ." All of that is forward moving. All of that is advancing the kingdom, to equip all of God's people to do his work. Not to build a fortress, but to build a community. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Key in on those last couple of verses. He, Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Every piece of the body is exactly where it is, doing exactly what it's supposed to do, because that's the way it is. And not just our physical bodies, but our spiritual bodies. Each part does its own special work. You have a special place here in the ministry of this church. It helps others grow, or other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and so full of love, or healthy and growing full of love. I remember a friend of mine telling me about a church service they had a handful of years ago, and they would set up like this, you know, number of chairs facing the stage, but they're a portable church, and so they meet in a school gymnasium every Sunday. They have to set up and tear down all their environments. This one particular Sunday morning, instead of putting out the chairs for the church, they pulled out all of the seating, all the basketball stadium seating in the church, and had the people sit on the stadium, in the seats, not facing a stage, but facing the floor. And so, you know, they had all these seats, and they set up in the middle on the court, and they had this big, long setup with the long stage, and the guy, had to be interesting. He'd turn this way, and he would turn this way. I mean, just thinking logistically how it all worked. But at the end, like, everybody's like, why are we set up like this? Why are we doing this? One, the seats are terrible, right? I mean, how many people like to sit in stadium seating? That'd be miserable. But so they finally get to the end. And he said, the reality is, he says, there's too many people that are sitting in the bleachers and not enough people down on the court playing. And they called the people out of the bleachers and down onto the floor. And it was a really powerful moment in their church, because they were realizing how better together they were. We've got to have that same realization. See, you know your body, you know your strengths, and you know your weaknesses. You know the things that you're good at and excel in, but you also know the areas that you struggle in. And if you know these things, you know the things that make you excited, you know the things that make your heart sing, the things that make your blood flow, the things that get your passion riled up, but you also know the areas where you struggle and where you're not the best and where you need somebody to come alongside you to help you. And that's what we've been talking about this month. When we talk about being better together, we're talking about the fact that together we can help fill in the gaps, and we can help each other where we struggle, and we can do the things that we're really good at, the things that we've been gifted in, the things we have, God-given talents and passions that drive us together. Because the reality is that we are better together than we ever are by ourselves. Ever. And think of all the ways in which we see and interact and succeed in together, right? Hurricane Matthew came, and what was the sticker you still see on the thing? Stronger together. And because of the hurricane, we saw people helping their neighbors. We saw people helping their community. And we saw this community cleaned up and getting back together, and people like unifying and pulling us back together because we were doing it together. When we're at work and we have these huge work projects to work on, if you try and get it all done by yourself, right? I mean, your hair, you're losing hair, you're turning gray, you're tired, you're stressed out. But when you do that together, and when that work team works the way that it's supposed to, you succeed. In sports, championships are won and lost by how well the team plays together, not by one individual person. It's driving me insane these days how much we talk about how well one person plays. It's like, that's great and that's dandy, but if your team's losing, it doesn't matter what your statistics are. Your team's losing because basketball's a team sport. I mean, it's like, it's driving me insane that we've lost this mentality of we're better together. That the world works better when we play as a team together. You know, this month we've been collecting Change for Life services. And the Thursday, they came by and they got what we had already collected. And you would think, okay, these are just baby bottles, and nobody's writing big checks, you know. But Friday, their director, Roger Phillips, got a hold of me, and he said we had already collected $750 together. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, but think about it. It was your quarters and your pennies and your nickels and your dimes that was collected together. And we know that it's maybe just a small portion, maybe half of all the bottles have been collected, maybe 60%. So we've still got a ways to go in collecting bottles. And think about where that's going to get to. But you know what? We did it together. That's what these challenges are about, is to show us what is possible when we do these things together. And the church is no different. If almost everyone is on the bench and only a few are playing, then we're going to struggle. We're going to limp along. But if the majority of the congregation is out there using their gifts, their talents, and their passions for the kingdom, we are going to go way farther than we had expected. And we're going to advance the kingdom of God way further than we could have ever imagined. Because with God, nothing is impossible. We are better together when everyone is playing their part. You have a part to play. You make an important role and play an important part in the church. And if you're not using your God-given gifts, the body is lame and hurt. When I was 16, I was telling you earlier, I was playing basketball at church, and I had came down on my foot the wrong way, and I broke my left ankle. And I was middle of my track season, my sophomore year, and it's an amazing story of how God really realigned just everything that was going on. I mean, I had moved from a very sports-minded mentality to where I was being told I could get scholarships to play football, not like the University of Florida, but, you know, I could have Division III podunk, you know, college over there. Hey, they're going to pay your way to college. You're going to take it, right? And so, and to move my mind and to go to Bible college. And that was, I mean, a huge, huge decision for me. I made my mom, frustrated my mom. I was like, what do you mean you're going to go into ministry? What do you, you know, like, what did I, it was... But it was this amazing way in which God used something so small as me being on crutches for a handful of weeks. Well, the first set because there were two sets of casts. The first time they took my cast off, the doctor said, now you can go back to, you know, light exercise. And light exercise meant street football. And so I was back in the doctor's office about a week later. And at the end of this second cast, so this is like 12 weeks on crutches. I mean, like 12 weeks on crutches, trying to get around everything, you know. Our schools didn't have elevators, so if I had to go up a class, you know, up a level, I'm walking up the stairs with these big crutches. Well, at the end of this, I was just so tired of it, right? And my mom had one of those Ginsu knives, you know, like the ones with the real rigid teeth. They tell you to cut through a can and then still be able to cut through a tomato. I got the Ginsu knife out, and I literally sawed this thing off. I was so tired of being lame that I took this cast off. I frustrated my doctor. He was so mad at me when I went back and was just like, here's this thing. And it's like, not even in nice pieces. It's like, here's a chunk and there's a chunk. And like, I think this goes here. He was just so frustrated. But the church is the same way. We get so frustrated and so tired when we're not advancing the kingdom of God because we're lame. Because not everybody's playing their part, and not everybody understands that they are part of the body. But if you join us, and if you find your place, think of all the good that we can do together. Think of all the people that we can help. Think of all those that we can feed. All the needy that can be served. All the kids that can be influenced and reached with the gospel, because we are choosing to invest in their lives, not just at Homeport, but all around us. Think of how many lives are going to be changed because the kingdom is advancing and people are coming in contact with Jesus, the one who changes all of our lives. But it's because we're playing our part. We're playing our roles, the things that you and I were created to do. And to not do them it's just so mind-numbing to think that people aren't becoming the beautiful David sculptures that they were created to be, and are still okay with being the chunk of marble just sitting there waiting for the creator to come along and make the beautiful sculpture. We all have a part to play. We all have a role. We all have gifts. We all have talents. But we can't do it without you. We can't do it alone. I want you guys to pray with me, and we're going to move into our response time. Father God, as we come into this time where we quiet our minds, we still our hearts, pray that you would remove the distractions, the things that we know have to be done, the things that we know need work, the things that pull our mind away from this moment. But I pray that in this moment we would take just all the time that we need to respond to this idea of playing our part. That we'd stop and think about our gifts and our talents, the things that we're good at, the ways in which we enjoy using our knowledge or our hands. And we would understand that we were created to use those things to advance the kingdom of God, your kingdom. Just like the prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray that you would just open our eyes, that you would awaken our passions, that you'd make our hearts sing in such a way that we would know exactly what it is that we're supposed to do this morning. Father, we want to be your united body. We want to be this whole and complete body as we've seen in Scripture pictured and talked about and described. We want to be that, the body equipped to do ministry, to change lives, to influence people. And so I pray this morning that you would speak just so clearly to us in our place, right where we're at, that we would be reminded that you have done all of this good for us. Because of all you've done for us, we give back to you, not just of our offerings, but of our whole body. And Father, I pray this morning that you would just be with us, that we would feel your presence right here in this place, right now. And we pray all this in your Son's name.